Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined after the first commercial break by Kurt Simmons. Kurt Simmons is involved in something called preterism. That is a particular way of looking at biblical prophecy that is an expansion upon things that we've looked at in previous editions of this show. Kurt's going to join us in the first hour. And then we will have Michael Collins Piper on for the last 2 hours of the show. Mike is going to be talking about his last trip to Iran, and where he and I are going to compare notes because I lived in that country over 30 years ago, spent a series of summers over there in the 1970s when my parents were stationed there, and Mike has obviously been over there in recent times and has had a series of things to say about his observations about the present regime in Tehran and that entire situation over there that do not match the kinds of things that we're hearing about in corporate media. So I have a number of things I wanted to ask Michael Collins Piper about in the last 2 hours of this show, including some of the recent reports in the Iran press service, largely coming from the neoconservative side of the aisle, that paint a very draconian picture of the present regime in Iran and some of the things that may happen over there in coming times. But Michael Collins Piper will be with us in the last 2 hours of the show to speak specifically about his own observations about Tehran, as well as the recent so-called Holocaust conference over there, which was covered by American Free Press, as well as his own take on what he sees as the percentage possibilities for an outbreak of war between Iran and the United States and or Iran and Israel. So that'll be Michael Collins Piper coming to us from Washington, D.C. in the last 2 hours of the show, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Before Kurt Simmons joins us after the first commercial break, I just wanted to mention a couple of interesting news items. There's a byline today from Moscow, an AFP story, indicating that Russia's bomber force would have no trouble destroying planned U.S. missile defense sites in Europe. Its head said Monday as the country's Security Council warned of new policies to counter NATO. Quote, "Since the components of the anti-missile defense system are weakly protected, all types of our aircraft are capable of using electronic countermeasures against them and physically destroying them," unquote. Interfax news agency is quoting Lieutenant General Igor Kevorov is saying that. That'll be curious to watch that in the days ahead to see precisely what may or may not be meant by those statements. But suffice it to say, as we look at what is going on in the news today, that kind of talk coming out of Moscow is particularly ominous, given the overall levels of tension that exist in the world. As we see today, there were 9 U.S. troops that died in the most recent Iraq blast and 2 separate bomb attacks on Monday. There are a number of other things happening around the world, including a new offensive against the Taliban that's supposedly underway in Afghanistan, that again suggests that this is not going to be a particularly peaceful year, either in terms of the existing wars of insurgency and counterinsurgency that we've seen since March of 2003, or the talks about an expansion of this conflict that may involve Iran and Israel and the United States in days ahead. So keep an eye on these stories. This is exactly the kind of thing that we can pretty much say would appear to be the case here in the first part of the year 2007, that there is likely to be an expansion of things in the Middle East that is a source of great concern to all of us. Let's hope that that proves to be wrong, and let's trust that there is some means out of this entire situation that involves a calming of circumstances and a replacement of threats and war with negotiation, but we'll see. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to us live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Kurt Simmons in the first hour of the show. And the doctrine of preterism. What is it and how does it interpret biblical prophecy? Stay tuned.
there is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Have a special guest today, Kurt Simmons, who is connected with a website entitled PreteristCentral.com. There's going to be an upcoming biblical conference in Carlsbad, New Mexico, March 9th and 10th, that involves preterism. And Kurt and I are going to be discussing that conference this morning and the whole issue of preterism generally. Kurt, how are you, sir?
Good, Mark.
What is preterism for the benefit of listeners who perhaps have never been exposed to this particular school of biblical interpretation, and what are the implications of it?
Well, preterism is an interpretive school. It's probably the oldest. It is an approach to interpreting biblical prophecy. There are four main schools of interpretation for books like Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel, and they're preterism, futurism, idealism, and historicism. And each of these has had its little era when it was in vogue among scholars, biblical scholars, and at a popular level. And really what preterism is it takes a view that prophecy, like Revelation, is past fulfilled. It comes from the Latin word praeteritus, which means has gone before or is already past fulfilled. So we would approach a book like Revelation as having been written and spoken to the generation of those then living and not having any immediate application to us or anything in our future.
Yes, so in terms of the book of Revelation, for example, it would then have its fulfillment in the events of the first century?
That would be our take on it, exactly, yes. The term preterism itself doesn't require a first century fulfillment, but it does require a past fulfillment. But yes, our interpretation would be that it spoke to the events that culminated in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70.
Yes, and so it seems to me that this particular school of interpretation, which, as you emphasize, is apparently the oldest among the schools, which involve what? Idealism, preterism, idealism, historicism, and futurism?
Right. Yes, we believe that preterism is the oldest simply because it is the hermeneutic that Christ and the apostles taught. It was very plainly, even liberal scholars who don't believe that the Bible is verbally inspired, admit that Christ taught and the apostles taught that they were to expect his imminent return. It was going to happen in the lives of the apostles. John and others would live to see the events that we normally associate with Christ's second coming. And then when it didn't happen as some expected it would, they thought that it meant the end of the physical universe. They then began to come up with various explanations of why it was delayed or double fulfillment and things of this sort. But definitely we would affirm that Christ and the apostles taught a type of preterism that was going to happen in that generation.
How do you see that as contrasting with these other schools? I mean, you've got what? Idealism, historicism, and futurism. What would you see as the central tenets of those schools?
Well, idealism doesn't really anchor the text to anything specific to history. It doesn't have any specific historical referent. It sort of sees a revelation in terms of abstract lessons about morals and the victory of right over wrong. And so it's just sort of floating about loosely through the centuries with no particular place it's anchored to and no particular end that it's pointing to. Historicism came into vogue during the Reformation. It really even began before that during the period beginning about 1200 AD. They began to see the papal system as being the Antichrist or the harlot of Babylon and so on and so forth. And this became very popular with the reformers at about 14 to 1500s. And it just sees the Revelation as speaking to events in one continuous sequential series of events culminating in the destruction of the whole universe or the world. And so they would see it beginning, for example, maybe with the birth of Christ, and then tracking all medieval history. And so that particular school attempts to find historical reference all through the Middle Ages and so forth, and then projects it into the future to the asserted end of the world. Futurism came into vogue in about 1930 or so with Darby and some others. It's what we call dispensationalism or premillennialism. It's very much in vogue today with the Zionist crowd. And it interprets Revelation as almost exclusively into our future. And it's the most disreputable and the least scholarly. It really is sort of a newspaper exegesis. They try to interpret Revelation by this morning's headlines and not take it in the context to which it was written or even attempt to interpret it within the historical framework of the people it was addressed to. So that's the main differences.
Yes, and, you know, certainly with the rise of John Nelson Darby and Cyrus Schofield after Darby, and then in a later generation, Hal Lindsey of the late great Planet Earth, it seems that this last school of thought, the so-called futurist, which for the most part seems to be tied to this so-called dispensational understanding of the interpretation of the scriptures, in most cases is tied to assumptions about the modern state of Israel and Zionism and the way in which all of those things are thought to be a part of the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. It seems to me that when one takes that position, that there are certain assumptions that are being made about the kingdom of God and about the covenants that don't characterize these other positions, as near as I can tell. The other thing that comes to the fore is that it is this last view that seems to be so powerfully influential in contemporary, what is called contemporary Protestant evangelicalism. Do you see any evidence that the preterist school is going to be making any inroads in terms of what has been the overwhelming popularity of futurism and dispensationalism?
Yes, I think so. I think that there have been these different interpretive schools have had their day, and all down through the centuries there have been different approaches that have come, been in vogue. And dispensationalism or premillennialism is having its day right now, but it actually was early on deemed heretical, and it was banished from the church for a long time. It was revived by Sir Isaac Newton and Darby and the others that you mentioned. In the 1800s, it began to find a little bit of a following. And then, of course, with the rebirth of National Israel, it's really received quite an impetus to catch people's imagination. But these people are constantly predicting the end, and, of course, it fails to come. And so they are really their own best argument against that system of interpretation, as well as the Bible. It's very clear that the Bible says that the events that Christ associated with his coming were going to happen in that generation. He's very clear. He told the apostles, for example, in Matthew 10:23, that they would not have a chance to preach in all the cities of Israel before he had come. So there's just no way to reconcile the time statements of the Bible with a futurist approach. And yes, and definitely preterism has and will continue to make inroads into those camps. We're finding that they're very reluctant now to come out and debate and attempt to defend their position in a public forum these days.
What does preterism teach about this idea of a future visible bodily coming of Jesus Christ at the end of history?
Well, that really is a key of tenet of futurism, and really there's a great deal of misunderstanding about that. That sort of goes in hand with the idea of a future bodily reign of Christ on earth. It's quite a mistake. Paul is very clear in his letter to Timothy that he said that in his times Christ would show who was the only potentate and King of kings and Lords of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can see nor approach unto, and so on and so forth. He's very clear that Christ is now invisible as he was before. You know, we cannot behold the angelic world or the divine world of God in the spirit. And so he's no longer visible to the eye of man, and his coming was going to be providential and spiritual in the events that unfolded at the end of AD 70. He would show himself, the Son of God, in the events providentially through the destruction of Jerusalem, through the vindication of his claims that he was the Son of God, through the avenging of the apostles and prophets who had been persecuted, but not show himself personally, bodily. He's no longer in bodily form. If he was, he could not be in heaven.
Yes. So so in this particular situation, then, that we find ourselves in the beginning of the 21st century, I know when I look at some of the publishing houses, and we'll be back, Kurt. I want to take up something with you that's a part of this dispensationalist phenomenon. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back to discuss preterism with Kurt Simmons, and then Michael Collins Piper will join us just after 8 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Back. This is Mark Dancross, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in the first hour of the show by Kurt Simmons, who has a website entitled PreteristCentral.com. And for those who are interested in the preterist understanding of biblical prophecy, there's going to be a conference March 9th and 10th. That's just around the corner here, March 9th and 10th in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Kurt Simmons would be an excellent resource for you if you're interested in examining that particular school of biblical prophecy in greater detail. Kurt, I wanted to ask you a question as far as the dispensational premillennial understanding of prophecy. Quite clearly, there are certain schools in the United States that are closely identified with that. We think of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Talbot Theological Seminary in Los Angeles, Dallas Theological Seminary comes to mind right here in Texas. As far as the preterist school is concerned, Are there any educational institutions or publications that are identified with that movement?
You know, that is a question I probably not really well equipped to answer as far as it being an actual agenda to advance a particular school. I would say no. It's always been present at the academic level. You know, that whole dispensational phenomenon is really an American thing, and in Europe and in England, preterism and other approaches to revelation have always existed, and there's always been at an academic level professors who taught a preterist approach to revelation. So there is, but not with the sort of way that these other schools that have an agenda, that are pushing it and teaching it in a systematic sort of way. It would have been left, I think, to the Bible departments of various colleges and universities rather than just a standard part of the curriculum.
Yes. Well, in terms of these schools of thought that are defined in terms of some perception regarding the millennium, you have the so-called premillennial school, which, as I understand it, has both a component called historic premillennialism, dispensational premillennialism is the other part of that package, but the millennialists, the premillennialists, are literal millennialists, as I understand this. They believe that the thousand-year reign of Christ that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, I believe in Revelation, what is it, Revelation 20, is a literal thousand-year reign of Christ on earth after he returns a second time, and that return is future. Then you have the post-millennial and amillennial schools of thought. How do those schools relate to this whole business of preterism?
Well, preterism obviously doesn't see a future thousand years. We're very unanimous in our opinion that the thousand years is completely symbolic and points to either a specific time in history or specific events. My own take on the thousand years that we read about in the book of Revelation is that it's speaking to the timeless nature of the Hadean realm. The imagery there is invoking the martyrs that were beheaded under the persecution of Nero for their testimony of Christ. It says that they would live and reign with Christ a thousand years. And I just take that as pointing to the fact that they did not cease to exist, but they went on to Hades paradise where they were living and reigning with Christ this figurative period of a thousand years until the general resurrection when they then went to heaven. That thousand years occurs in the Old Testament in Psalm 90, for example, in verse 4. Also in Greek and Roman understanding of Hades, it was their belief that the soul or the spirit of the dead went down to Hades for a thousand years. Now, the Romans and Greeks didn't believe in a resurrection, but they did believe in reincarnation, and they believed that the souls, after a thousand years sojourn in Hades, were then reborn again to earthly existence. And we read about this in Plato, for example, and in Virgil's poem, the epic poem, The Aeneid. And so it seems as if John is alluding to this when he employs this symbol of a thousand years, that these martyrs had not ceased to exist, that they were, in fact, victorious in death and were reigning with Christ until the time of the general resurrection. And that would be my particular take on that.
So as far as your understanding is concerned, then, the believer in Christ at death is reunited with Christ, is that correct?
Yes. There was a time during which, because the blood had not been shed, that men were sequestered in Hades. And so the soul of the deceased went to either a place called Tartarus or a place that's referred to as paradise, where they waited until the general resurrection. But the resurrection is now past. It would be our interpretation. The resurrection is now past. The souls have all left Hades. Death and Hades have been destroyed. And now as we die, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. We can go now directly to our eternal reward in heaven. We have the blood of Christ that's made the atonement.
Yes. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Kurt Simmons and the School of Biblical Prophetic Interpretation, known as Preterism. when we return, and then Mike Piper will be on a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Kurt Simmons for the first hour of the show talking about preterism, a particular understanding of the interpretation of the book of Revelation and of biblical prophecy generally. The preterists have a conference coming up March 9th and 10th in Carlsbad, New Mexico. I'll have Kurt say a little bit more about that here shortly. If you look at his website, which is preteristcentral.com, you'll see all kinds of fascinating things there, including Kurt's commentary in the book of Revelation, which is entitled The Consummation of the Ages, A.D. 70 and the Second Coming in the book of Revelation by Kurt M. Simmons. That is 468 pages, hardcover, for $34.95. And again, you can find that at www.preteristcentral.com. Kurt, as far as the conference is concerned in Carlsbad that's coming up for the Preterist Movement on the 9th and 10th of March, tell us a little bit more about the conference, how it came together, and who some of the key people are, including yourself, obviously, who will be there.
Well, we have a lineup of probably the foremost speakers in preterism in the U.S. coming. We have John Noe, Ph.D., coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. John's the author of numerous books, and he's also the author of a movie that's presently being shopped in Hollywood called The Coming. We also have Don Preston, who's a big debater who has met in debate people like Tommy Eyes and others of the futurist category. There's also Ed Stevens and Todd Dennis, people from all over the U.S. We have people coming as far away as from Canada to come and hear. We'll have 2 days of talks, and plus there's going to be a tour of the Carlsbad Caverns for those that are interested.
Yes. And there's still an opportunity for people, even at this late juncture, to become involved in applying to come to the conference?
Yeah, sure. There's no charge. The conference is completely free. There's plenty of hotel space. This is plenty of hotel space here in Carlsbad because it is a place where people make vacation destinations. So there's an abundance of space. And since there's just no charge to attend, there's plenty of room. We would encourage anybody who's interested, please come on ahead and spend the weekend with us. It begins Friday afternoon at 1 and will end Saturday evening at about 5:30 or 6.
Okay, very good. I wanted to ask you a follow-up question on this business of the general resurrection according to the preterist view. In the preterist view, then, you had people prior to the substitutionary atonement of Christ who, upon death, were taken into this holding area called Hades Paradise. And that subsequent to the blood atonement of Christ, those who were believers in Jesus Christ and in his substitutionary atonement were then translated into his presence. Is that correct?
Roughly, yes. Paul says that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And death and Hades were sort of joined together because God wanted to save man's soul, but before the blood was shed, he could not bring man to his eternal reward in heaven. So men were kept in this place called Paradise, Hades Paradise, pending the general resurrection. And the resurrection was timed to occur at Christ's second coming. And we see that was something that Jesus predicted would happen in the lives of the apostles. He said, "There's some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom with power." So the apostles would live to see this, and this is something that we believe was fulfilled in the first century A.D. It was not a resurrection of physical bones and flesh coming up out of graves, but the resurrection of the spirit from Hades going up into heaven to be with God for eternity.
I see, and that, in essence, preserves the idea then that the generation that Jesus was referring to in the Olivet Discourse was that generation that he was speaking to at that point, and that the translation of the soul into the direct presence of Jesus Christ at death is in effect that resurrection from the dead.
Yes, and we do tie it to the events of AD 70. There's no question that when he says in Matthew 24:34, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled," that he was talking to that generation. They had just asked about the destruction of the temple. And in fact, the whole discourse really begins in Matthew 23, where he says that verily all these things was going to come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And then he goes into how it's going to be left desolate because they persecuted the church and killed the apostles and prophets and murdered the Lord himself. So the temple was going to be destroyed, the nation was going to be destroyed and carried away into captivity, and all that came to pass exactly when and as Christ foretold. And in fact, it had been foretold since the days of Moses. So all of this we see as being fulfilled, including the resurrection.
And again, I think that while there are some distinctions, definite distinctions, say, between preterism on the one hand and both historicism and something like amillennialism, it seems to me that at one level there are also some common grounds, and one of these would be the idea that the judgment that came upon the Jews in A.D. 70 was a judgment that, among other things, besides the issue of the destruction of the temple and so forth, removed any questions that existed at that time about the ongoing character of the Jews as the so-called chosen people of God. Israel and Judah indeed at one point had that relationship with God, that special relationship with God in the Old Testament, it would be the preterist understanding that terminated completely in A.D. 70 and was not to be revived again?
Exactly. Their only relationship with God was provisional. It was to bring Christ into the world, to make the atonement, to save mankind. That provisional nature of that relationship was embodied in the Old Testament and the promises to Abraham. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and now the covenant that gives man a special relationship with God is the New Testament, the Gospel of Jesus. The Jews are an antichrist. They are rejected and reprobate. They stand in no special relationship before God than any other race or language of people, and this is very clear that in the New Testament, all men stand equally before God and approach the throne of grace on the same terms. So God's plan for Israel, national Israel, was fulfilled, and he has no further sacred purpose for them. Whatever providential purpose he may have for that nation is no different and no other, and the Bible doesn't speak to it any more than it speaks to his plan for Canada or France or Great Britain or anything like that. So all biblical usage of national Israel was expended by AD 70, yes.
Well, that's interesting because that portion of the preterist point of view would seem to correspond strongly to the sort of traditional amillennial interpretive school that I was exposed to as a kid, both in the Lutheran Church and, of course, I have read that the Roman Catholic Church, as I understand it, at least historically, was greatly shaped by the amillennial school. In terms then, if the preterist point of view, and for that matter, assume is the amillennial position and the historicist position on the modern day state of Israel, if that proves to be correct, what then do you see as the implications for the Christian, so-called Christian right in the United States? And what is quite clearly for most of them a direct, overt alliance, political alliance with the Zionist state of Israel and the Israeli lobby?
Well, ideas have consequences, as we've seen, and 9/11 made very clear. And it's a hugely mistaken foreign policy to support this antichrist power in the Middle East or anywhere. We are supposed to be a Christian nation, and certainly those of us who profess faith in Christ have no business politically supporting a political entity that is very foundation rests upon denial of Christ's sonship and atoning sacrifice. So it's a huge mistake. It's also just tactically proven to be wrong. There's just no reason to support that tiny little parasitic nation against all of its Palestinian and Arabic peoples there, and it's created tremendous world tensions, and the best thing we can do probably is to simply back away from that whole situation and let happen what happens. But we certainly have no biblical reason to support them, and Israel has no biblical right to exist. They exist purely by force of arms and by the support they derive from America.
Yes, and isn't one of the differences between the dispensational premillennial point of view on the one hand and many of these other views, including preterism, on the other, this difference of opinion that seems to exist over the whole business of the covenant, Whereas in these other views, as I understand it, there is a relationship between covenant on the one hand and the notion of fidelity to the covenant, obedience to the covenant on the other, that dictates what follows between God and the party or parties to that covenant. Whereas in dispensationalism, it seems to me that you have it argued that there is an unconditional character to that covenant as it relates specifically to ethnic Israel, and that in the dispensational understanding of this, there is no need to consider the whole question of obedience or disobedience when it comes to both the covenant and the alleged land promises that stem from that covenant. Is that a correct take on this?
I think that it generally is. I would say that there was an unconditional sense to the promise in that God was going to bring Christ into the world through the seed of Abraham. And that was something that God promised unconditionally. And the Jews' obedience or disobedience was not going to affect his decision to do this. However, their right to retain that land and to remain in covenant relationship with him was definitely predicated upon obedience, and the law of Moses recites over and over again in Leviticus 27 and Deuteronomy 28 and following curses that were pronounced against the nation for their disobedience. And we know they were carried into Babylon originally because of disobedience, and then that actually became a type of what was going to happen in AD 70 when God once and for all time destroyed the nation again before him as a people for whom he had any covenant relationship at all.
Yes, interesting. In your view, since you are far more directly involved in this than I am, obviously in regard to these prophecy conferences and so forth, in your view, is there a renewed interest in preterism on the part of many people because of what's been happening in these last 5 or 6 years? And what I mean by that is this. With people I talk to in a variety of political circles in the United States, who maybe in the past have had pretty much a pro-Israel perspective, either committed or just generally assumed because of the shaping of so many of our ideas in contemporary American culture based upon corporate news media and so forth. But as that somewhat presumed pro-Israel perspective has been reexamined by a lot of folks in the wake of the events of recent years, as it's clear that as a country, the United States seems to be moving closer and closer to some very, very serious things that seem to be tied directly to our political support of Israel in the last 60 years, is the disenchantment of many people with that alliance, things that they say to me on the side, which suggest that more folks are looking more closely at whether or not this alliance with Israel is really a good thing for America. As more people get into that reanalysis, is that creating more of an openness to the preterist school of thought as you encounter Christians around the country?
Yes, definitely. I think so. I think that there have always been huge questions in people's mind about the incongruity of the time statements in the Bible that place Christ coming in the first century and the events that he was predicting, and then the apparent failure of these things. And so there's always been an enormous interest in trying to loose the riddle of that incongruity. And with the heightened interest in world events and national Israel today, it's really thrust this thing into the forefront of people's mind. And for the first time, maybe in the history of Christendom, there's really a serious effort to get to the bottom of these prophecies. You know, there have been other things that have occupied men's minds in the first centuries following the Christian era. For example, the church fathers were very interested in proving that Christ was the Messiah, the prophecies, and that occupied most of their creative energies. And down through the ages, there have been different things that have confronted the church. Was Christ divine? That was another thing that came along about the Council of Nicaea. What was the nature of Christ? And so, but eschatology has sort of been thrust to the back burner because there have been more pressing issues. But right now, there seems to be more interest in it than there's ever been. And, yes, we are reaping enormous windfall in the Prater School because there simply is no other way to reconcile the plain statements of Christ and the apostles that he was going to come in their lifetime, in that generation. And then, so it's providing answers that have been long, long needed.
And so in your view, is this whole question of eschatology, or the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, as that is potentially placed in the context of a broader consideration of all hosts of an entire range of Christian theological views on a variety of topics, that perhaps we will see in evangelical circles in days to come more of a concern for some of these other traditional Christian doctrines than maybe we've seen in the popular Christian press in the last 50 years, where the eschatology thing pretty much seemed to be emphasized to the exclusion of anything else.
I think so. Eschatology, let's face it, there's always been those who will prey upon the weak and unstudied. There's a very sensational element to it, and so they've sort of exploited that, but I think that it's going to turn, things are going to turn around here.
We will be back with Kurt Simmons for the last 10 minutes of his appearance today. You can find his website at preteristcentral.com. And then Michael Collins Piper will join us just after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. This is Mark Dankoff's America on RBN, coming to you live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined in the first hour of the show today by Kurt Simmons of PreteristCentral.com. If you're not familiar with the biblical interpretive school of prophecy known as preterism, Kurt's website will be a great way of becoming acquainted with that school of thought. And the conference for the preterists is going to be held on the 9th and 10th of this month, March, in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And one presumes that if you contact Kurt Simmons at preteristcentral.com, he can give you information on that conference if that is something that you would desire to attend this coming weekend in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Kurt, in the last 5 minutes here or less, what are your goals in the next year in regard to what you've been doing with preteristcentral.com?
Well, I'm currently working on a second commentary, this time on the book of Daniel, and so I'm hoping to have that ready for publication. Also, we'll be just involved with the preterist movement on a national level, continue to write articles and address issues as they come up, meeting others in debates, particularly from the futurist school. That is a particularly ripe area that needs to be harvested. There's just a great credibility problem within that school, and so we want to bring the message of preterism, a fulfilled eschatology, to America and the world. Also, of course, we'll be having our second annual Carlsbad Eschatology Conference next year about this same time. We'd encourage anyone who's interested to please come and be with us. We have a lineup of great speakers and topics, and they'll come away a changed person, we're sure, much enriched and much enlightened.
Is the preterist point of view being represented at all at these so-called Evangelical Theological Society conferences? I know you mentioned Thomas Ice of the Futurist School. I see his name cropping up from time to time in the literature that the ETS puts out. Is the preterist point of view getting any play there?
Yes, John Noe has just published an article with them, for example, and he is one of the speakers at the conference this year. And they are there. There have been Ed Stevens has been there from the International Preterist Association. He's been there every year and for several years running with a book table. And so, and John Noe, as I said, he's been there. Not only has he had an article published, but he's there and made presentations every year for at least the last 6 or 7 years. So, yes, we are represented at those conferences.
And your particular website, preteristcentral.com, would it be safe to say that there would be that would be a good clearinghouse for folks who want to become acquainted with the school and some of its leading current thinkers?
I think so. Mine is probably most of the articles are ones that I have written. There are several others. I think the one that gets the most gets 2 million hits a month, and that's Preterist Archive. And that is run by Todd Dennis. Todd will be a speaker at the conference this year. He has just an enormously big website, and he's gone back, and he has all sorts of historical information from the past, all sorts of bishops and others who have espoused the preterist view, and it's all there for the for free for the person to roam through at large.
And that's Todd Dennis at preteristarchive.com.
Preteristarchive.com, yes.
Kurt, thank you for being on the show. That was Kurt Simmons of PreteristCentral.com, I believe, who is talking about the upcoming Preterist Conference in Carlsbad, New Mexico, being held March 9th and 10th of this month. And you can find Kurt through PreteristCentral.com to get more information on that conference. I'll be back with Michael Collins Piper after the next commercial break to talk about Iran. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.